Welcome to this episode of the Blended Beat Coffee Grab podcast. I'm your host, Paula Barnard-Ashton, and each week we invite a guest to the studio to share their ideas, current trends, and innovations in blended learning. In this episode, we take a look at what the pandemic has taught us as a South African university and how this has shaped our strategic plan for learning and teaching. With us, we have Professor Diane Grayson, Senior Director of Academic Affairs at Wits University, with institutional level oversight of teaching and learning, student success, and quality assurance. Welcome, Professor Grayson.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Paula. Thank you for this opportunity.
So a bit about Professor Grayson. She is a personal professor of physics who brings 3 decades of higher education expertise to the table. Professor Grayson is passionate about promoting success for all students through good teaching, sound curriculum design, and holistic support. So Professor Grayson, we were forced into emergency remote online learning pretty much overnight, and we've created skills, we've changed the way we think about teaching and learning. So can you tell me a little bit about where this has led you to think and where you think the university and higher education should be going in terms of blended learning?
Yeah, thanks for that, Paula. So I think it was easy to get into a rut before COVID. I remember sitting in a meeting where one of the professors said, well, we've done it like this for 40 years. And instead of being embarrassed, he seemed quite proud of that fact. and I think that was the danger. Things seemed to be going smoothly. And yet the world was changing under our feet, even before the pandemic. So I think the pandemic was a huge wake-up call. It made us really stop and think, what are we doing? Why are we doing it? Who are we doing it with? And who are we doing it for? How are we doing it? And can we do it better?
Yeah, and who are our students? You know, I think our communication channels with students shifted because suddenly they weren't fixed in our classroom space. So I think it created an opportunity for us to understand our student body better.
Absolutely, and not just the student body, but students as people, as individuals. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when you're sitting and there's 300 students in front of you and you're standing in the front and you've prepared this lecture and you're very proud of it and you're just speaking for 45 minutes, it's easy to imagine that the sea of faces is some kind of homogeneous group of people and that they are making meaning out of what you're saying. And I'm using that term as opposed to absorbing. or taking in, because I think one of the misconceptions, actually, that a lot of lecturers have, if they have not gone through some kind of education themselves, formal education in how to teach, is imagine that if I say something, you will understand it, and you will understand it in the way that I said it. And we know that that's not how learning takes place. So I've been involved, as you said, in physics and in STEM and in science education a long time. And we know that learning is not about a radio transmitter
and a receiver.
And a receiver. That's not what happens.
Absolutely. I think the blended learning opportunities are there to shift us away from lecturer giving a lecture to looking at active participation from the student's perspective.
That's right. And so it's forcing us to think more about the learning and less about the presentation. And that's why, since we've come out of COVID, in our annual learning and teaching plans, we've said, if what you want to do is give a presentation, you don't need to bring 300 people into the room. You can provide a presentation online. If you want to bring people into the room with you, then do that for something that is going to involve active participation of all the people in the room.
And I think a lot of in-class teaching is actually quite difficult to make interactive. And we have a very lecture theatre-styled venue set up in a lot of our teaching spaces. So creating learning opportunities that are more engaging during class is a bit of a challenge, but it can be done.
It definitely can be done. So I was involved for many years in some of the physics education research, where there were some people experimenting with ways of getting people actively involved, even in a tiered lecture venue, in a lecture setting. So there's all kinds of things you can do. I mean, one of them is to not speak for too long, but then to stop. So maybe introduce a concept or a story, even better.
Yeah.
And then give an opportunity for the students to engage with the people next to them in buzz groups, or maybe if it's a science class, work on trying to solve a little problem themselves. But break that period up so that it's not one person standing and talking and a whole bunch of other people sitting passively and listening.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, we're very rigid to a timetable, you know, the amount of timetable discussions that we end up in. And so the concepts around, because I've got a venue allocated to a time slot, means I have to be in that venue with the students in that time slot. Mm. And I think we can think differently about it. I mean, we can decide whether that is actually time for the students to work asynchronously with the way transport and the constraints that the students are experiencing, load shedding. Sometimes, you know, we need to think differently about even how we use that in-class time. And it can be to plant the seed face-to-face for 20 minutes or 15 minutes and then release the students to go and research it in their own way, or give them an online activity or a collective group work task to do. So I think thinking differently about our teaching is one of the things that has come out.
Absolutely. And having a greater sense of intentionality and more imagination. You know, and we're a research intensive university. Coming up with new knowledge, innovative ideas is what we're all about. So it's really important that we carry that through into our teaching. And as I said, that the focus is on not what am I doing, although that's important, but what is the student learning? Another time we can talk about how do I know what the student is learning.
Absolutely. But I do think that there are other opportunities that have emerged out of the pandemic. I mean, I think we realize that a lot more of our students are working. Sometimes they're the breadwinner for their family, but they're still trying to study. And having a better skilled academic population with the technology, it brings other opportunities in. So what is FITS thinking about in terms of flexible learning opportunities?
Right. So maybe just to say, in addition to people working, there are students and probably more potential students than actual students who have a wide variety of life circumstances. So they may be caregivers for children or for elderly parents, Or they may be working. There's all kinds of life circumstances. So we would like to get to a point where there's flexibility in terms of when you start your program, how long you take to complete your program, the hours of the day that you may be required to be engaged in your study. So you mentioned asynchronous. Asynchronous learning opportunities are tremendously helpful, but there's also value to synchronous learning, not someone talking at you, but where people are able to actually interact.
Collaborate
and bounce ideas off each other and debate. Absolutely. So in terms of the blended part, I think the thing that we are trying to do and that we will keep working at is be, I said, intentional about saying, when do we need people physically in the room together, and what kind of room would that be, and what is it that they would need to be doing that requires them to be in the room at the same time, and when is it okay if they're dispersed, and when is it that we want them to be together even if they're dispersed, and when is it that it would be effective for people to be able to learn at their own pace. So those are all designed questions, and they require a great deal of thought and insight.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've just recently done episode of the Blended Beat that's covered the temporal dialectical in the blended learning model. And I think that's very much what it is how do we manage the time, and how do we manage why does a student have to be in a particular place at a particular time? And if we can allow them that flexibility of how they use their time, their study opportunities are going to grow.
Absolutely. And I do think that our timetable is a problem. I have been saying this for some years, but it's well known that there are a lot of students who will choose, am I going to have food today or am I going to pay for transport to campus? Mm. And to expect students to come to campus for 5 days, sometimes just for 1 or 2 hours, is not only unrealistic, it's really not very fair.
Absolutely.
So I do think that we should be, I think there is tremendous value in having some activities where people are physically present together in a space. But I think that the scheduling of those activities should be compacted.
Mm, absolutely. And especially now that we also see that our students are coping with the technological side of, yes, of online learning. And in fact, they often are better equipped than what we are. And there's lots of ways to engage them in the online spaces. But I think there's also a bigger higher education question that comes in here when it comes to flexible learning. And that's other forms of access to degrees where you're not fixed to a full-time 8-to-5 degree program. So I think Wits has some plans around micro-credentialing and aspects like that. Could you tell us a bit?
Yeah, so micro-credentials are one of the big buzzwords in higher education globally. And the idea is they're little bite-size learning opportunities, and they can be stacked. They can be stacked towards a program of learning, and in some cases they can be stacked towards a formal qualification. They are competency-based, and they are very much geared towards employability of the students. And they're part of the idea that one should be a lifelong learner. I attended a session at a conference in the US a few years ago where a futurist was speaking. And she was saying in the future, people are not going to be able to sell themselves as an engineer, a lawyer, whatever. Rather, what they will do is everyone will have their personal brand. And in their personal brand, they will indicate their experience and also the learning that they have pursued. And then maybe they'll have digital badges to show particular either formal learning or micro-credentials or workplace learning, whatever it is. But it will be a brand that they will develop and build on throughout their lives as opposed to a career as a whatever.
Absolutely. And I think we've got great opportunities at Wits to be able to offer right through the process from an undergraduate level. I know we've had some discussions around basic digital skills, getting micro-credentials for that for our students, first aid certifications, but all the way then into the advanced levels where people are looking at attaining a specialist skill that can be attained through a micro-credential that they can add to their toolbox of what they offer when they go into a job.
Absolutely. And the advantage, of course, to the micro-credentials is they can be developed and altered rapidly. So we've had short courses for years, and the idea is that we can morph some of our short courses into micro-credentials. They'll still go through quality assurance processes, but they will be more formally recognized, hopefully through digital badging. And then we'll look at the learning pathways, as I said, as some of those micro-credentials become stackable.
And I think the clear differentiation between a short course and a micro-credential is that it is a competency. Yes. You have to demonstrate ability in order to attain the credential, yes, whereas a short course you can attend. And sometimes they say you're competent because you've done a multiple choice quiz, but this is more of a practical component. Am I understanding that correctly?
Well, practical, not necessarily with your hands, but yes, practical in the sense that it is useful for showing that you have acquired certain knowledge, skills, values, dispositions.
Okay, excellent. So I think there are a wealth of opportunities that have emerged out of what we've learned during the pandemic, and we've kind of put the emergency side of remote online teaching behind us. And now we're really transitioning into a teaching and learning plan that brings blended learning in a far more effective and, as you said, intentional manner.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Excellent. So, well, thank you, Professor Grayson, for joining us for this episode of the Blended Beat Coffee Grab podcast. And we hope to see you again.
Thanks very much, Paula. And this is great that you're doing this.
Thank you. We We hope to really change mindsets and make teaching and learning effective and bring the blended into the blended learning. So our guest was Professor Diane Grayson, Senior Director of Academic Affairs at Wits University. And she shared amazing insights into what we learned from emergency remote online teaching during the pandemic and how this is informing our way forward for blended learning. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Blended Beat Coffee Grab podcast, and we look forward to sharing more conversations with you next week.